You know, today, I'm not one for mixing too many worldly holidays and things into church, at least not too much. You know, like Mother's Day, Father's Day, we bless and honor them at the end of the service, but I'm not about turning the whole service into some kind of memorial for a holiday, because I believe we're here to worship Jesus. Amen? And so, but when you think about a day like today, you know, I was reflecting on 9/11, and I don't know if you guys remember this, but I don't know a time in my life that more people went to church than right after 9/11. I mean, the churches were full. People were, it was almost like they were scared to Jesus, but it was like things were so uncertain and so unsure, and could we be next, or what, if this could happen there, what else could possibly happen, that people really started to search and to seek for the Lord. And, you know, I pray for, not for a tragedy like that, but I pray for a hunger for Jesus like that again for our nation. Amen? I mean, we need a hunger, and you know, I don't know what it takes to give us a sense of urgency that now is the time. Now, right now, today is the time to chase Jesus. Today is the time to tell people about Jesus. Today is the time to share the love of Jesus. Because, guys, our time, I believe, truly is very short. I mean, some of you guys are probably like, okay, one of those crazy, you know, preachers believes we're in the last days. Well, we are definitely in the last days. I'm just saying, I believe it's short. I believe that the things that we're seeing in our world, that it could be over before you know it. We could be rolling right into the end times. So I just think that as a church body, we need to be praying. We need to be praying for that hunger, right? For ourselves, first and foremost, but for the rest of this body, for our community, for other churches to really start to get the word out about Jesus. And I think that's really kind of our heart behind doing an outreach in October, which we plan to make an annual thing, and maybe it'll be more than that. I don't know, but we got to start somewhere, church. We got to start somewhere with getting the word out to people and sharing the love and praying for people and trying to do whatever we can to bring the lost in. Amen? Amen. All right, that one person, you better be there. I don't know who it was, but one. So me and Skylar and one person are going to be there. Just kidding. You're all going to be there. All right. But today, as I get into the word, how many of you have ever heard this phrase, I forgot more than you'll ever know? Has anybody ever heard that before? Anybody ever had like somebody say that to them? You know, I've had somebody say that to me before. And this was actually the name of a song. And I looked up this song, and it was, I don't even remember who originally wrote it, but it was written or re-recorded by at least 19 different artists. Recorded this song, I Forgot More Than You'll Ever Know, including Bob Dylan and Johnny Cash, okay? So, big song. And when you hear that phrase used, it's usually kind of an insult. Right? Like, I remember there was like an older, more seasoned than I gentleman that I used to work with that told me that. And it was like, boy, I forgot more than you'll ever know. You know, like basically like he knew everything, you know, and I'm just kind of like, okay, man, well, I'm going to learn everything that you know at some point. So what's the big deal? But when you think about all the things that you've learned in life, how many of you guys remember most of what you've learned in your life? Right, probably not too many of us, except Landon, apparently. Give him a quiz later. Ask him some things, okay? I bet he forgot something that Morgan told him this week already. But you know, we do truly forget more than what we remember. And I'm sure that I would fit in this category right now, that I probably literally have forgotten more things than what I actively know. And it's why we need reminders, right? It's why we need reminders. It's why today, like a day like 9/11, why we do think about and reflect on and pray for and remember all the people who lost their lives on that tragic day. by this act of just a few cowardly people, right? We remember something like this. We think about the innocent people who lost their lives in those buildings and in the streets. We think about the heroes that went in and lost their lives trying to save others. And we think about this thing, and many of you will probably remember, and you've probably seen it on Facebook if you've been on there, right? This phrase, "We will never forget." I remember that being so popular right after it happened. We will never forget. Only if you really think about it, unless you specifically lost somebody that you knew and that you love, there are many days throughout this year that you forgot about 9/11, right? It's not something that we think about every day, but as this time rolls around, maybe a few days before, you start thinking about it because we have this reminder to tell us about it again. And so what would we really remember about it if we didn't have a reminder? What would we really remember? We probably, again, if you're not directly impacted, you would have forgotten mostly all about it. And so we forget things that probably are actually really important to us. And I've been told before, like, if it was really important to you, you'd remember. That's not actually true. We forget lots of things that are very important to us. But when we think about the Lord this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 8, there's this line in here in verse 11 that I want to draw your attention to. And this is Moses speaking to the Israelites. And he says in verse 11, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today." Be careful, beware, right? Be alert. There's something that may happen to you. Do not forget the Lord your God. Now, I know to you, a bunch of people sitting in church on a Sunday morning, this probably sounds kind of stupid, kind of ridiculous. Like, how am I going to forget Jesus? Right? How am I going to forget the one who died on the cross in my place for my sins? Like, how can I forget that? Right? How can I forget the one who rose from the dead so that I could live forever with him in heaven? Like, how can you forget something like that? How can I forget the one who is always with me and always for me? How can I forget the one who's promised to come back to me, come back for me? How can I forget Jesus? Anybody kind of think like that, like I do? Like, I mean, how could I really forget about Jesus? Of all things, that seems absurd, but it's easier than you think, and I would bet that it happens more often than you realize. The word would not remind us to be careful, to beware that you don't forget the Lord your God if it wasn't something that is very possible and very likely for God's people even to do. It's a real issue in our lives. And, you know, last week when Jake was up here to pray and he gave an exhortation, he kind of challenged us to remember God in the good times. He said, remember God in the good times. It can't just be in the bad, but what about in the good, right? We sing a song like he's the God of the mountains and the valleys. What does that mean, right? The good high times of life, but also the low times. It's easy to remember him in the low times when we're in need and we're in want. But what about those high times? And it was awesome because I already had the outline for this sermon in my drafts on Google Docs and was planning on preaching it this week. And then Jake shared that last week, and I'm like, it blows my mind the way that God works. That's unity in the Spirit right there, church. And this is a real problem, a real issue that we tend to have. Do not forget the Lord your God. Now, you can't use the old age excuse, all right? How many of you guys are still walking around when you forget stuff, you're just saying it's old age? Come on. You guys aren't even old. What are you doing? What are you telling people it's old age for? I've started to do that a little bit, you know, and then you know, somebody like Susan will be like, oh, you're not old. And I'm like, you neither. That's awesome. You know, praise God, we're not old. But you know, we do really kind of see it that way. Like, we give ourselves an excuse to forget stuff because of our age. And you know, I do see that I'm forgetting more things, but I don't necessarily believe that it's age. I'm going to tell you something that I never forget about is I don't ever forget about my wife, right? There's not a day that goes by where I'm like, I'm not married today, right? There's not a day that goes by where I just live my life like she doesn't exist and just like, you know, and then I run into her later and I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Like there's never a day like that. Right, I don't forget about my wife. I know that I'm married. I know that I love her. I talk to her. I spend time with her. I pursue her. I do all of this no matter what the circumstances in my life look like. Right? No matter if it's good, no matter if it's bad, I still know that I'm married to my wife and I still have a relationship with her each and every day. Now, why? Because I treasure that relationship, right? It's something that's important to me, and because I value that relationship, it keeps me active and engaged. It doesn't ever slip my mind. I'm never out doing something, and then I do it like I'm a single person, right? I just don't, because it's not true, it's not reality, and it's something I never, ever forget. But why do the people of God occasionally when they're out and about and they do something like they're not a child of God? Why do we do that? Right? If you're a married person who is committed to be faithful and you live your life like a married person and you don't do things like you're single anymore because of that relationship is so important, then explain to me after service if you have an answer, why is it that we say we're committed to Jesus, I have a relationship with him, I love him, I give my life to him, I do anything for him, and then we go out from here and we tend to do some things like we don't know Jesus, like I'm not a child of God, like I'm not born again, like I haven't been changed, like I'm not who I once was anymore, but I'm a new creation. Why is it that we go back to these actions that look like we have forgotten who he is? I think there's a lot of reasons why we forget things and why we do these kinds of things, but there's three things I want to look at today here in this scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. Number one is that you didn't learn. You forget about Jesus because you didn't really learn in the first place. You forget about him because you disuse. You might think the word misuse, but it's actually disuse is what I'm using here. And then you forget about him because of interference. And when we look back at this warning that Moses gives the people about not forgetting God, he tells the people this stuff as they're getting or preparing to enter the promised land. You'll see in the word it's much longer before they actually do, but to them it was supposed to be close, but we see these things laid out here, and in Deuteronomy 8, verse 1 through 5, it says this. He says, "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness." How much did God lead them? All the way, right? He led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord chastens you. When you consider these Israelites as they're wandering in this wilderness and they're going through all these extremes ups and downs, right? They were going through literal hills and valleys, but they are also going through these spiritual ones, these mental ones. They were having these breakdowns where they were so upset with the Lord and just wanted to go back to what they had, and then God would do something great, and they're like, hallelujah, praise God, and then that the newness wore off of that, and then they're mad at God again, and they just go through all this, and it makes me think of, have you ever watched a movie where it seems like they keep repeating the same mistake over and over and over, and you're watching the movie, and it's so predictable, and you want to just like yell at them and be like, what is wrong with you? Like, it's happening again. Can't you see it again and again and again? And there's a couple of movies that are like that, that I'm like, I've tried to watch and I just turn them off. I'm like, this movie is so frustrating. Like, if I can't get in there and fix the problem, if they're not going to listen to me, then I don't want to watch this anymore. But I think about these Israelites and they keep making the same mistakes. They didn't learn. They experienced something. God would do something amazing, something powerful, something miraculous, and then they would not learn from it. Now, hear me, they experienced it, but they didn't learn from it. And so since they didn't learn from it, they would repeat the same mistake again the next cycle around. This was Israel. It's like watching that predictable movie, and you're thinking, why can't they just learn from their mistakes? They spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and it says God was testing them. God was testing them. When I first started reading the Bible, and I didn't really have as much of an understanding, I really thought that this time in the wilderness was punishment. I thought it was God punishing them for not doing what he said. But it's not that God sent them there, led them there to suffer for what they had done. We don't need that right there. It's not that he sent them there to punish them to suffer for what they had done. He led them there to test them. It wasn't punishment, it was training. It was for them to learn a few things, and we have to remember that just like with the Israelites, when you are in the wilderness, God is with you. Like when they were in the wilderness, God was with them. It said he led them how much? All the years, right? All the time. The whole time they were there, God led them. Now, not only did he lead them, but he also always gave them what they needed. Praise God. How many of you guys are thankful that God will always give you what you need? Now, God will not always give you what you want, and that's your problem, right? That's my problem, because we get those things confused sometimes, right? Like, I need a new motorcycle. I mean, I need just a used motorcycle. It don't even have to be new. It don't matter. My wife is being quiet right now. You know, usually, like, you get some amens, and I don't really ever hear a no, and I thought that'd be a good time for one. But you know, we think a lot of the times the things that we want are the things that we need. But it said that God provided all that they needed while they were in the wilderness. Now, they were not in the promised land. You got to realize that in the wilderness means the wilderness. Now, not necessarily like it is for us. There's a little more dry and less water and a lot more desert and those kinds of things. But the wilderness that they were in was not the promised land, right? It wasn't this land flowing with milk and honey that they had been hearing about. But they did have food that appeared daily for them. They did have supernatural clothes that somehow, some way, didn't wear out on them anymore. How many of you guys are still wearing clothes from 40 years ago? Now, for me, that'd be very awkward if I was wearing a t-shirt when I was 3. But some of you guys, I don't know, maybe you still have clothes from that old. But some of you guys aren't even old enough to have clothes from 40 years ago yet. But when you think about wearing clothes that are 40 years old while you've been walking out in the wilderness. How many of you guys go out and work in the yard and you like sweat through your shirt? You go in, change clothes, take a shower, put on a fresh set of clothes. You know, some people change their clothes 2, 3 times, 4 times a day, depending on what they're doing. And these guys wore, you know, that's not like they didn't have clothes with them to travel, but I'll promise you they didn't have a washing machine or a dryer. You know, so it's like when we get to where we're going to stop here in a day or two, maybe we'll take our clothes off and trade them out and wash them in the puddle or the river or whatever it is that we have access to. The clothes did not wear out for 40 years. And when you think about walking, when we went to Salem with the Jesus Illinois group, I remember when I came home, my ankles were like that big around, right? I mean, it looked like I had like elephant feet from like, just, it was hot outside. I was on my feet for hours and hours and hours. Or if you go to some place like the zoo, this happens. You go to the zoo, it's always like 60 degrees hotter than what you thought it was. Once you get there, I don't know why it's so hot at the zoo, but it is, and you walk around and you're wore out, and man, your feet, your legs are huge when you get home. And there's a lot of times you may not really notice it, be like you take your shoe off and you're like, somebody pull, you know, like I can't hardly get my shoe off. They're swollen so bad. They walked around for 40 years in the heat, and it says their feet did not swell. It doesn't say they weren't swollen at the end. It said they didn't swell. Like, it didn't happen. And so God wasn't disciplining them by making them wander in the wilderness. He disciplined them in the wilderness because they weren't learning. It was a training exercise for them. It was a place that they were to be taught by God. And you do not learn. If you do not learn what God is teaching you, you forget God. You forget that he's provided, right? We're kind of tired of this manna. We want something different, right? We're whining, we're complaining. What happens? We've not learned from the fact that God is going to provide. He's going to take care of us. We need to not worry about what it is, but more so, where is it coming from? Glory to God. And they begin to forget that, and so they complain. We forget that God is with us. And they would complain, like, where are we going? Why have we already been this way? Blah, blah, blah. They're whining, complaining. You know what? Maybe you need to forget about where you're going and remember who's leading you. Okay, praise God. God is leading me. If he's leading me, I guess I don't care where I'm going. I guess it really doesn't matter, because I'd rather go where he's leading me than to go somewhere else. But you begin to forget that, and then you begin to forget God. It's like, I'd rather go back to Egypt where things were better. You forget whatever good you have is of God, that you're in this dying body. You guys realize that? Every one of us, our bodies are dying. I hate to be the bearer of bad news if you didn't already know that. Some of you, like young people, are like, what? This body's great. It's dying. Wait, it'll catch up with you. But I mean, it's just the fact, it's the matter of the fact that we live in a dying body. Praise God that ain't it. Amen? Like, praise God that this isn't it, is just making it through life in this body, hoping that things get better. But you live in this dying body, but listen, the good that you do have in that body, hallelujah, it's because God has sustained you thus far. Right? Maybe it ain't as good as you want it to be. Maybe it ain't as good as the person sitting next to you. But I'm going to tell you what, whatever you do have, praise God that you're still alive in that body. In whatever shape that it's in, praise God that he sustained you thus far. You forget that with all that you've been through in your life, you should be wore out. You should be exhausted and beat and done and over with. But here we are, living another day, with the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. Hallelujah. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that. There's a very real possibility that I could have not woke up this morning. Just being honest, it could happen. You never know. But praise God, here I am living another day being led by his Spirit. Hallelujah. I'll take it. I'll take it with whatever circumstances come along. Do not forget the Lord your God. Ephesians 4:20 tells us, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Hallelujah. Listen, put away the grumbler. Put away the complainer. Put away that old man, that old woman that forgets what God has done because we're just so focused on what he's not doing that we're not looking at him anymore. We're looking around for what do I want? What do I need? What can I ask for? Put on the new man, the one with the renewed mind. Hallelujah. The one that has been born again, made new in Christ Jesus, the one that remembers the Lord and lives and walks daily by his Spirit, and learn from the Spirit. Listen, church, the Holy Spirit, the greatest thing the Holy Spirit does is lead us. Lead us. Well, we got to learn from that. We got to learn, well, where are you leading me? Okay, what are we doing here? Why am I here? Holy Spirit, what are you showing me? We've got to learn from the Spirit so we do not forget the Lord. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 6, Moses goes on to tell him, therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. Somebody say nothing. That's what you're going to lack in this land, nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. See, there comes a point in a believer's life where we get what we've been praying for. Any of you guys been there? You pray for something, maybe a short time, maybe a long time, but at some point, you get what you've been praying for. God does it. And in our opinion, in our side of it, we're like, God's finally done it, right? Like it's been forever. He finally did it. And when we get what we've been praying for, when God's blessing fully arrives, when our hope is fulfilled, when our desire is fulfilled, sometimes we forget about the Lord. Sometimes we got what we want. See, this promised land, it sounds great, right? It sounds like a good place to live. I don't know about you, but I would love to live in that promised land. This place right here, man, I bet when they get there, when they step foot on that, right? If you don't know anything about the rest of the story and what happens, you just imagine as they step into that land and they look at it, I bet they praise God. I bet they're like, this place is awesome, right? This is what dreams are made of right here. This piece of property, this land, I bet they maybe do a little dance. You think? I mean, I probably would. I'm not going to demonstrate for you, but when I get to the promised land, then I'll do a little dance. I bet they shout a little bit. I bet some of those people hit their knees and were like, praise God. Thank you for your faithfulness, church, like we sang about earlier. Great is his faithfulness to me. Great is his faithfulness to you. I mean, hallelujah. God is faithful. What he says will come to pass. Like, those are not just words that we sing to a song. Those are truth. That if God says it, it will come to pass. And I bet they were so thankful for God's faithfulness, for his promise. I bet in that moment they were like, man, their relationship with God was probably as good as it gets. Right? God has answered my prayer. And I think we're all like that when God answers a prayer and we're like, praise God. Man, God, you are the best. I'm so blessed, right? I love you so much. I'm so thankful. I want to tell somebody what you did. I'm so excited about it. And I bet they were like this too until they got a little too busy picking pomegranates, right? I mean, because there was probably a lot of them. I bet they looked good. Until they were working a little too many hours digging that copper out of the hills, right? That they are told, man, you can have all this copper. You just got to dig for it. All right, praise God. I mean, everybody grab a shovel. We're going to build some cool things. Until they had all that they could want to eat, all that they could build, I bet about this time they got so busy with the blessing that they begin to forget the one who blessed them. Anybody relate to that? Sometimes we get so busy with the blessing that we begin to forget the one who blessed us in the first place. And don't act like you never done it. Don't sit there and think about your neighbor or your friend or your relative or whatever and be like, yeah, they did do that, in fact. I remember it. It was last week, right? Think about yourself. Don't act like you've never done it. Don't act like you've never gotten so wrapped up in the blessing that you've begun to forget about the one who blessed you. And even if you have not been blessed like this yet, if you're like, man, I can't even think of a time where God's really answered a prayer, really blessed me, really done something, I bet he has, but I bet you're still back in the wilderness complaining. Right? Like you're still back there at that stage where you need to learn something. You need to learn what the Holy Spirit is trying to show you. You need to learn about God's love for you and the grace that he has given you so you can move past that and begin to see that blessing that he has in your life. And when we get what we want, we begin to stop praying and stop thanking. Now, I'm not saying all the time. I'm just saying this happens. This right here is disuse. It's like we have something that we could use and we don't use it anymore. It's not a misuse. We don't use it in a wrong manner. It's disuse. We just quit. Like, you know what? Things are good. I got all these blessings and I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to thank God for this stuff anymore because I got work to do. Right? I got pomegranates to pick and I got copper to dig up. You know, Quentin's already there with the shovel waiting on me. I am running behind. I got to get there. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to thank God today because I got work to do. See, we get to this point where the very things that got us to where we are with God, that got our relationship to this peak, to this monumental point, that when we think about these things that made the relationship so good, so strong, where we were full of prayer, full of gratitude, full of praise, full of worship, that these things begin to cause the good things in our relationship to fade. That's disuse, and disuse will always cause you to fall back to a place where you forget. Do not forget the Lord your God. 1 Corinthians 7:20 says, let each one remain. Somebody say remain. Okay. Some of you guys said that like you were, are you talking in your sleep? Come on. Somebody say remain. There we go. That's good. But let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. He's saying you were called when you were a slave to the enemy. You were a slave to the world. You were called at that point. And you can be made free. And if you've been made free, then you better use it. You better use that freedom for what? To glorify Jesus. You can't let that connection with him fade. If you've been freed by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, it was for a reason. Amen? And it was for one reason, and that's to be united with him. You know, Jesus didn't set the captives free so the captives could just go on and build their own thing in their own lives and, and do what they want. He set the captives free so that we could do what we were created to do, which is love him and know him and fellowship with him today, right now. Amen? So this is what he's done that for. Every blessing he gives us is just icing on the cake. Use it, but use it for him. Use it for his purpose that is for your life. But I want to tell you, this purpose isn't just like I do my own thing, but I incorporate Jesus into it. It's that he's supposed to be at the center of it. He's supposed to be at the center, church. Me and Christy, we do marriage prep with couples. We tell them, it's not just that you're getting married and we would like for you to also bring Jesus along for the ride. Like, come on, man. Like, you can be the third wheel. Like, you can hang out with us. And when we need, like, if I forget my wallet, you can buy, you know, like, whatever. Like, it's not bring him along. It's that he's supposed to be at the center of your marriage. I'm just going to tell you, I don't believe you can have a good, fruitful marriage if Jesus isn't in the middle of it. I mean, I'm going to tell you, you can't have real great intimacy if your kid sleeps in the middle of you and your wife. That doesn't work. If you're doing that, kick them out of the bed, stick them in their own room, all right? But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to your spiritual walk, if Jesus isn't in the middle, he's the thing that's really truly going to hold you and your spouse together. He's the thing. If you're both turning and looking to him, and he's your focus, and he's the main central point of everything that you do in your marriage, he will keep you together. When Christians get divorced, it's because at least one of them moved Jesus to the side. One of them stuck Jesus in the back seat or started leaving Jesus at home. Amen? This is the truth, okay? We have been freed for a reason. It's to be with Jesus, and whatever we have, the blessings we have, are to be used for his purpose for our lives, right at the center of it all. Deuteronomy 8:11, going on, says, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes that I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and you've built beautiful houses, and you dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, your gold, your silver are multiplied, all that you have has been multiplied. When you lift your heart, or when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and might, the might of my hand, have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. Then it shall be, if by any means you forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish as the nations which the Lord destroys before you. So you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God." Holy cow. That's frightening, isn't it? And when you think about the fact that we get this blessing and we begin to think, man, look at what I have done. Look at what I have accomplished. No, look at what God has enabled you to accomplish. Look at what God has allowed you to have. There's a difference. There's a lot of differences between somebody that's successful and doing well and something that's not. Both of those people can be doing what God has for their lives. I'm just saying that usually when people don't have anything, they're not saying, man, God's given me all this. You know? When somebody gets everything that they want, a lot of times they're not saying, man, God's given me all this. One is saying, why isn't God giving me more? And the other is saying, look at what I did. We need to remember that it's God who gives us the ability to build, to gain, to make wealth, to have possessions. And these things are interference. When we think about interference, it's anything that comes in opposition to another and hinder its action. See, we're to be this grateful people. Amen? The word talks about thanksgiving and gratitude an awful lot in the New Testament, an awful lot about how we're to be thankful. We're to have gratitude. Thank God. Praise God. Right? A big part of praise is thanksgiving. We're to be thankful people. And we sometimes have these things that begin to hinder that thanksgiving. When I'm going through hard times, when I'm just not feeling good spiritually and I'm struggling, Christy almost always is like, we need more gratitude. What are the things that we should be thankful for? And I'm like, you're right. Because when you start to think about the things that you're thankful for, you start to put that focus back on Jesus. Man, God, look at what you have given me. Look at what you've enabled me to be able to do. Forget about all the things that I think that you haven't done, that I think that I should have, but praise God, look at what you have done. And when you think about interference, I always think about a radio. When we were working on all this, we had a radio back there. It was Mark's. Thank you, Mark, for your radio. The radio he uses for prayer on Thursday nights, we're like, hey, we can put the radio back there. You ever go up to the radio and you try to tune it in, and it's like, it sounds great, and then when you walk away from it, it doesn't, and you're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You just keep messing with it, and it's like you get that interference. It sounds great, and then you walk away, and now you're hearing two songs, you know, and you're like, I just about want to give up. It's like the other station is like, listen to me. And you're like, no, I don't want to listen to you. I'm trying to listen to this other station, and it's just driving me nuts. And my dad does this when we play cards at his house. Sometimes he's the cause for the interference because he doesn't know that you can't have a ball game on and the radio on. And me and Channing, probably some others are too, but me and Channing are like sitting there, they're getting like a nervous twitch, about to snap. Like, dude, pick one. You cannot play them both. And so then he'll be like, he'll go with the radio. And he'll turn the radio on and he'll like, I'm pretty sure that thing's older than I am. I don't know where it came from. He's got this record player, this radio that he tunes it in, goes and sits down and it works for a little bit. And then all of a sudden it's two songs. And you're like, I'm like, dude, just put a record on, you know, like do something. But it drives me crazy. He'll tune it and sit down, and then like, no, tune it and sit down. And eventually you just turn the thing off. You're like, forget it. It's not going to work. We'll turn on, you know, the satellite station, you know, for whatever kind of music you want to listen to. And I believe we do this with God sometimes because he's speaking, he's blessing, he's working, he's leading, and then we have this interference. We have this stuff that starts to get in the way, and we're hearing a little bit of conflicting tone going on, and it's kind of like it's work back and forth. It's like tune back into the Holy Spirit, and then you're like, all right, you walk away and you start doing stuff and you start to get the interference again. You're like, all right, this is kind of getting old, and you go over and you kind of tune it, and you notice the closer that you get to God, the more in tune it gets. It's when you turn around and you start to walk away that it starts to get a little fuzzy. But you tune it in and you walk away and you go back and forth through this thing again and again and again until there's some point where the interference is annoying enough, you decide it's not worth it, I'm just turning the whole thing off. But you can't let interferences cause you to turn off God's voice in your life. You can't let the interferences cause you to turn off God's voice. Listen, whatever you have is good. God gave you the power to get it, and the biggest interference to that is the one that Moses alludes to right here. It's pride. It's that thought that I did this, right? And if I did this, I can do more, and I can do bigger, and I can do better. Don't forget that there's someone who gave you an able body or a sharp mind or abilities to do things, or he opened the door for you to ever get that job or buy that possession or obtain that thing, right? God is in all of those things, and don't ever forget, glory to God, he's the one that gave us the ability to do that. Amen? Do not forget the Lord your God. 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I get this question a lot. How do I know God's will? There's a couple of different places in the Bible where we're explicitly told what God's will is, and this is one of them. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks for everything. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to tell you all of those things right there. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything. You can't do those things and forget God. You can't do those things and forget the Lord your God and what he has done and where he has brought you from. You just can't do it. He goes on to say, don't stifle the Spirit. Listen, when we are not thankful, when we're not rejoicing, when we're not praying, we begin to stifle the Spirit. We begin to stifle him. He says, do not stifle the Spirit and don't despise prophecies, but test all things. That's key when it comes to prophecies. Test all things. It doesn't matter what the prophet says. It doesn't matter what the man or woman of God says unless you test it against the Scripture. And then he says, hold on to what is good and stay away from every kind of evil. Church, that's our responsibility to not forget God, that we find ourselves as people who rejoice, people who pray, people who are thankful, but also people who don't stifle the Holy Spirit. Listen, this may be you, this has been me at points in my life where I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't want that to happen right now. Holy Spirit, we'll talk about this later. Listen, you need to tune out those other frequencies, those interferences, and you need to tune into what God is saying. Amen? That's the most important station that you can turn on. We can't despise the prophecies when someone gets up and is like, this is what God has told me. We got to listen. Now we got to listen, but then we also got to measure it against God's word. If it don't line up, throw it out. But if it lines up, you better take heed and you better hang on to what is good in your life, because if it's good, if God has given it to you, you got to hang on, because listen, the enemy is trying and trying and trying to pull you away with every kind of evil. Every kind of evil. He's trying to get you to forget the Lord your God. Forget about what he's done. Look at what he's not doing right now. Look at what they got. Look at what that person has been blessed with that you don't have, that you have always wanted. Listen, every good thing that we have and everything good about us that we will be are the result of God's immeasurable goodness. His immeasurable goodness. Let us be humble and thankful before him. Amen? You guys would stand with me? I think there's times we need a reminder, and this is that time. You know that we are not what we are, and we don't have what we have because we're clever, but it's because God is wise and God is good. That's why. You see, we don't have all these things, these blessings, these possessions. We haven't built these things because we're mighty, but it's because God is powerful and he's given us these abilities and opened these doors and made things move. As Mark always says, he's moving the big wheel, right? And I always think about that where I'm like, you know what, if things don't line up, if things didn't line up right, there's so many things in your life and in my life that would have never happened It had to be the right opportunity, the right person, the right place, the right time. There's so many things that have to line up that God lines up that we have no idea about. And there's times where we think, man, I am mighty. Look at what I did. No, it's that God is powerful and sovereign, and he has a great, wonderful plan for your life. It's not because we are consistent. Man, I go to work every day. It's more than some can say, right? I got a solid income because I at least go to work. Listen, that's great. I praise God for good work ethic, but I want to tell you, you don't have what you have and you're not who you are just because you're consistent. It's more because God is faithful. It's more because God is faithful. And we cannot forget the Lord your God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you and praise you this morning for your word. God, I thank you for this warning through Moses. I thank you for this warning that was to the Israelites, but it's so applicable to us today because, God, we too can be drawn away. We too can fail to learn what you're trying to teach us. We too can be guilty of disuse, that when we get what we want from you, that we have that disconnect in our relationship and we don't have time to pray and we don't have time to thank you and we don't have time to spend with you. God, we too can do those things. God, we too can give way to the interferences or let the interferences annoy us to the point we just want to put headphones in and just go do our own thing and just drown out everything. But Lord, I pray that we would not be those people, that today that you would give us an awareness of what you're trying to teach us, that we would be those people, that we would say, Holy Spirit, here I am. I'm ready to learn what it is that you're trying to teach me. I'm ready to learn what it is that you are showing me. I'm ready to follow where you are leading me. And I'm not going to be a person that's going to disuse my relationship with the Lord, that I'm not going to put you in the back seat whenever you give me what I want. But Lord, I thank you for every blessing. But Lord, of all the blessings, I come back to the song that we sing, where it's, I didn't come for blessings, God. I just want you. Lord, that if it's removal of those blessings that we need to get our eyes back on you, Lord, I at least for myself, I say, here I am. You can remove whatever you want as long as I'm right with you. Lord, I pray for those who have that interference going on. Lord, for those moments, those times where all these other things that are contrary to what you're doing in our lives, where they begin to take too much of a hold of our minds and begin to shape what we think and what we do, Lord, I pray that that voice of the enemy would be silenced in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for the people of God in this place and listening online that interference of pride would be ripped out by the roots right now in the name of Jesus. God, we give that to you. We surrender. Lord, as your word says that as you tested the Israelites, that you humbled them. Lord, we ask you right now to bring humility into our lives. If we have pride, that you would rip it out by the roots again, Lord God. Replace that with humility that, Lord, what am I without you? I've lived a life not knowing you, and it was a miserable life, Lord. What am I without you? Lord, I pray that you'd be the center of our lives today, that we would each and every day be those that wake up and we immediately think about the Lord. We begin to immediately think about the blessings and we have thanksgiving for what we have in our lives. Lord, I declare over Connection Church, we will not forget the Lord our God. We won't. Repeat after me, church. I will not forget the Lord my God. One more time. I will not forget the Lord my God. And Father, as we make this declaration this morning, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would work that in our hearts, that if for those who it was just words that we said, words we repeated, Holy Spirit, will you work that in our hearts? Give us that love, that compassion, that draw to Jesus that is greater than any love that we have for the things of this world. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.